Morning. We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you this morning. As was said, you know our names, and it's been nice to be greeted by some by name. Sorry, I guess I have to press a button. We are missionaries with Avant Ministries, as well as associate missionaries with the EMC. So I don't know if some of you have been praying for us through the EMC bulletin. I know it just comes online now, and it's a little different than it used to be. You used to get something in the mail, and it would have some photos and prayer requests. But we are very grateful for anyone and all who have been praying for us and the ministry. Maybe also prayed for our daughter who had a fatal car and water accident some years back, Ashlyn. And she died, but then God did this awesome miracle and brought her back to life again. And so we praise God for what he's done. We know prayer changes things, and we're grateful to God for what he's done. If you want to hear more about her story, you can ask us about that later.
So Sharon and I, we've been engaged in refugee ministry now for the last 40 years. We've been working in East Africa for the last 21 years. Before that, we were in Europe, in Germany and Austria. And now we have been focusing on the Serving Christ ministry since 2017. So how did this journey start for me? Well, the Mission Committee had asked me to share this story, so I want to share it with you, and hopefully it will be encouraging to you. It's about a broken person working with broken people. As a toddler, I grew up with both parents alcoholics. I watched them, and when I watched them, I seen them drinking from bottles. So I decided to pick up a bottle too that was out in the yard in the camp. I was in a logging camp, and I started to drink it, but it was diesel. So that didn't go too well for me. During that time in that logging camp as a toddler, I was delivered from bears two times by loggers. At 5 years old, I was basically abandoned by my parents. They drank. They worked. They drank. They worked. So I would just go and do my own thing. And I almost drowned several times. Once in mine shafts in an abandoned mine. I was 5 years old exploring abandoned mines. Can you imagine? Twice in nearby lake. And somehow God delivered me. At 8 years old, I began to bleed internally. I had bleeding ulcers. I would bleed, get transfusions, bleed, get transfusions. At 9 years old, I was already drinking heavy. Vodka, gin, rum, whiskey, whatever I could find, I drank it. By the time I was 14, I was an alcoholic, and that wasn't enough. So I started using drugs. First just soft, marijuana, hash, but then harder stuff, acid, and it just went on and on. By the time I was 19 years old, this was my lifestyle. I was a thief. I stole cars and product. So I was a criminal. I distributed drugs. And I left home because I just got sick of all the pain. And I went up to northern British Columbia. I was born in the south. And I got a job at a mine and working 12 hours a day. One night I was walking out of the bar. And I found a little book on the ground, and I thought, address book. I can make some prank calls. Yeah. I opened it, and it was a New Testament. It was a Bible. I was going to throw that thing away, but you know, it was brand new. And if you know me like my wife does, if I see something brand new, I don't throw it away. So I started to read it after work. And I read about Jesus, and I read about his miracles. I read about his compassion. I read that he even raised people from the dead, healed people. I thought, what a bunch of baloney. But you know what? I kept reading. And I read the words of Paul, and I came to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it said, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And the Holy Spirit came on me, and I fell on my knees, and I just started to weep. And I was crying out to God, God, if these words are true, these stories are true, make me new, clean me, make me new. And I fell asleep crying. When I woke up the next morning, I had peace I'd never experienced my whole life. And I realized I was free. I was free from the alcohol. I was free from the drugs. I was free from the bondage. I got so excited, I became a Bible thumper in a week. And I wanted to find people who also believed these words. And I went into the village and I seen churches. I seen Pentecostal and I seen Anglican and I seen the Catholic, and that didn't mean anything to me. But I seen a church that said Bible Chapel. Oh, I had one of those. I went to that place. And I met with the elders and I said, please help me, teach me. I want to know what happened to my life. I don't understand. They said, when would you like to meet? I said, I want to meet every night. They said, well, we work. I said, well, I work too. Anyway, one of the elders, he said, just a minute. He went to the back. He came back with a number of catalogs for Bible colleges. He said, why don't you apply to one of these? You could study the Bible every day, all day long. I thought, yeah, that sounds good. And so I applied to several. And this is the sovereignty of God. I thought I was going to make a choice. Two accepted me. Two. Oh, what am I going to do? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you know? And I chose one. And I got on the bus from southern BC and I headed to southern Saskatchewan to the desert. And I got off the bus and a delegation of the third year class of that college met me. And they said, are you Gord? And there were only two of us got off the bus. So I said, yeah, 50-50, pretty good. They said, we have been praying for you that you would become a believer and that you would come to this college. And that sent shivers up my body. And I said, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I am your man. My first trip to Africa was South Sudan to help an orphanage. But this is what I saw. I saw rubble and carnage. Since then, there have been times of peace and rebuilding, but because of the unstable and corrupt government, there have been many relapses into civil war. In many ways, the situation there has not been much different than when I first arrived in South Sudan. Buildings burned out, destroyed, no schools, no hospitals, no roads. A failed government. Presently, there are over 2 million South Sudanese refugees just in northern Uganda alone and other neighboring countries due to the violent conflicts and insecurity. These days, we are hearing lots about war, not just in East Africa, all over the world, right? But let us introduce you to what God is doing through the Serving Christ ministry to bring hope to the nations in East Africa. We have a video we'd like to share with you to give you a bird's eye view.
Ah! I'm one of the leaders of Serving Christ. And one thing I love with the Serving Christ is the unity among the leaders and the unity when we go and train others. And another thing, I realized even the cultures, we can be able to come together from different cultures, and this is what really I love with Serving Christ. And this kind of training, we never got it before, and only this time, and I'm very, very happy because of this Serving Christ. And I thank God for those who are hearing me. This training is very good, and those who are supporting, thank you for your support. And we need this ministry to grow, and we need this ministry to do more than what we are doing now.
Yes, my name is Geran Daniel Den. I'm a born-again Christian as of now. I came here
4 or 5 months ago. The first training, I was a nobody. I was just a prisoner. I was in prison. But through this training, I found myself. By God's grace, it was by God's grace. I cannot explain it fully. But through this training, my life has really shifted. I am not only changed, maybe in moral behavior, but also spiritually. This one I really regarded by God's grace, it's all credit to the Serving Christ ministry, for they are the ones who God used to reach people who are lost in this world like me. And I am very happy to have the opportunity to go out there and help other people who are lost just like me. This is the most important thing I have attended as of today. And I've graduated and I feel so happy. Not just happy as a matter of happiness, of attaining a certificate or something, because it is something significant in my life. It touches my soul and my spirit. It touches the connection between me as a human being and my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that through this training, a lot of souls will be saved.
Rabuni.
So after, praise God. I guess we say, wow, God. After numerous years of serving in East Africa, we learned that the charity model of helping the poor can actually be more damaging than helpful because it tends to create dependency. For example, while in South Sudan, we were asked to build a much-needed school. So we raised some funds, the school was built. Sometime later, when we returned to the site, the people were asking us for more money. They said, your roof is broken. I said, our roof? My roof? No. Your school, your roof. But they replied, you built this school. Do you see the problem? They were not owning the school. Rather than taking care of what they had been given, they were waiting for us to come back to fix the roof. Basically, they were waiting for another handout. I could give you so many other examples, not just in Africa, but in Haiti, in Mexico, maybe here even in Canada. There is a very good book called Toxic Charity. If anyone is interested in learning more, you can take note of this. There's other books like Helping Hurts, When Helping Hurts. Basically, the premise is never do for the poor what the poor can do for themselves.
So after some time, we felt that God was leading us to stop building physical infrastructure and start building into people. So our focus now is a holistic church planting training that we developed together with some trusted African partners. This is the training manual that we use. There's many practical, the training has practical and covers many topics that guide the participants to godly living, peace and reconciliation, discipleship, church planting, but also some self-sustainability, small business development, and even community-based banking. Today we're working with a team of South Sudanese and Ugandan pastors that have been trained and continue to train others. Each of these pastors encourage and work with the graduates of the training in their regions. They live in different places across the north of Uganda. And each of those graduates train others. And so the multiplication continues. Here's the team with some of the regional leaders that they are mentoring. The cover of our training manual here says, Master Trainer of Trainers Church Planting Model. The intention has always been to pass it on. Don't keep what you've learned to yourself. So in this way, the ministry continues to expand at a very grassroots level, and God is using it to transform lives.
We purposely keep our training to around 40 participants, and we invite those that are already active, just like you as a church. If you were to raise up a missionary here, you wouldn't just send somebody who was not active in the church. You would send somebody who's doing something in the church because they're going to be doing something on the field. Here you see a class of graduates. Here you see another graduating class. This one is in a refugee camp. To date, we have approximately trained 2,000 participants with our 7 leaders, and then our other leaders have trained many more. And they have planted over 100 churches. Praise God. Wow, God. So this has been since 2017. Many times the churches start just like this, under a mango tree, right? The church buildings slowly take shape over time, but it's important to note that we no longer get asked to help build the church. Through the church planting training, they have learned that they can use their own hands, their own resources to construct these new churches one step at a time, even though they live in extreme poverty. As you can see, they come in different shapes and sizes, much like we do. These churches are being planted within South Sudan, advanced northern Uganda. We are now working in the Congo and also in northern Kenya because of the multiplication process. Very exciting. As they say in East Africa, let's give God a mighty hand clap. Or as they say in Abidjan, wow, God. As the ministry began to grow, we realized that these new churches really needed discipleship to grow deeper. Actually, the church in general in East Africa is very wide, but very shallow. There are many Christians, but in name only. Biblical teaching, living faith, and discipleship are much, much needed.
So a few years ago, we were able to adapt and contextualize a discipleship book called Multiply. And we've made it now into a 14-session study to be used for deeper spiritual growth within these new churches that have been planted. We now have a young discipleship coordinator, Jimmy, who loves Jesus and is very passionate about the Multiply discipleship training and materials. He's the fellow in the back row there with the red shirt.
So Jimmy has been conducting the Multiply training across South Sudan and northern Uganda. He says the training did not end in the classroom, but went back into the churches, into homes, into communities, where real discipleship is now taking place. Through the training, many believers and church leaders return to their local churches equipped with practical tools for discipleship and multiplication. Jimmy says, while exact numbers continue to grow, it's clear that many people have been impacted as the training multiplies through churches and newly planted fellowships. And this is all the way to the Sudan border in the Islamic North. Once again, we praise God for what he's doing. As a result of the war in South Sudan, there are many, many orphans and widows. Within the country itself and in Uganda in refugee camps. Serving Christ takes God's word seriously when it says, real and true religion from God the Father, his perspective, is about caring for orphans and widows in their distress and resisting the evil influence of the world. The young man you see in the photo with us is Moga James, one of our orphans. We met Moga in South Sudan in the orphanage that we had constructed. When the war broke out, we moved him to northern Uganda. Now you can see, even though he was only 4 or 5 then, he's now 21, and he's taking a college course in Uganda.
So what you may not know about South Sudan and Uganda and many other African countries is that parents have to pay for their kids to go to school, right from kindergarten all the way up to university. So this becomes a real challenge, actually, for most of the population. You're always hearing people say they're trying to get the school fees for their kids to go to school. So we're grateful that God has provided so that Serving Christ is presently supporting 24 orphans and vulnerable children with education. These children are, as you can see, from various ages. A few years ago, we met Paul. He was introduced to us. We found him in the refugee camp. He was staying with a widow there. And he was a South Sudanese man that was captured as a boy, and he was made to fight as a child soldier. Finally, at about the age of 21, he was able to escape that army in South Sudan, and he ended up in the refugee camp in Uganda. So even though he was now safe from his army commanders, he was destitute, and the trauma of that experience just really weighed heavy on him, and he was having horrible nightmares. Paul was an orphan, and because of his capture as a child soldier, he had missed much of his education. So by God's grace and provision, serving Christ was able to begin supporting Paul in going back to school. Paul had to begin his schooling in primary school with a bunch of the younger children. But praise be to God, Paul was introduced to Jesus and soon received him as his Lord and Savior. He was able to take our church planting training as well and graduated from that. And he gave testimony to the fact that Christ brought healing to the trauma and to the nightmares that he'd been having. Because of this healing, he was able to learn really well and he advanced really quickly in his schooling. In this photo, you see Paul. He's just finished high school and he's holding his papers there. But now he's already in university, second year, and we praise God for that. Here's his short testimony from Paul.
I am Paul of Luke Morris. I'm SAS planter.
I have just one question. I don't know. You served in the army for long, and I can see you are now growing, and now you are going to senior four. Yeah, as you served in the army, the other time you explained, you said you had a lot of trauma, a lot of bad dreams, and a lot of sounds coming into your mind, but now as you continue to study the education, now are those things still there, or are you feeling better?
As now I join my school and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, all this trauma and bad things goes away.
Now, after senior four, what do you want to do after senior four? Do you want to go to university, or where do you want to go now?
After senior four, I wanted to continue up to university.
So as I mentioned, Paul is in university. But meanwhile, after graduating from the church planting training, Paul became a strong evangelist. And he participated in planting two churches in South Sudan, just across the border from Uganda. One of these new church plants has even birthed a small school in a village that didn't have a school before. There are approximately 65 young children that are going to this school, made with wooden poles and tarp, as you see in the photo. And many of the children are from that small church plant, and many of them are orphans. So Paul's heart was touched by all the orphans there, and being an orphan himself, he wanted to give back and help other orphans just like he'd been helped. So we praise God for the way he's worked in Paul's heart, from being a child soldier to planting churches, coming to Christ, and helping other orphans.
Can you see? Paul was a child soldier. Can you imagine the trauma he experienced? He was made to use machetes on people, kill his own family. Truly broken person. But that's what we're talking about today. Broken people working with broken people. Orphan education is a critical part of rebuilding a country that is at war like South Sudan. If we do not partner in education with godly mentoring of these orphans and youth, they will continue to be in danger of perpetrating hate, even being snatched up by warlords and trained to kill, rape, and pillage their own country and people, like Paul. But through the love of Christ, these youth can know transformation and healing like Paul. So rather than perpetrating hate, they can advance the kingdom of God and promote the Prince of Peace. As James 1:27 said and says, real and true religion from God, our Father's perspective, is about caring for orphans and widows. So as the ministry, we'll try to help some of the widows in our community as well through small seed capital projects. This way, they are able to do small business, raise some animals, help support their own children and their church and their community. And Abbeydale is a part of that.
So the widow in this photo is Josephine. She's struggling to provide for her family, but she also has to care for a teenage daughter that isn't able to go to school because she has some kind of illness that makes her go into convulsions. So it's difficult, but Josephine was given some seed capital and she started this small market business to help support her family. This widow is Teresa. She was given two goats through the Serving Christ ministry and is very happy that these two goats have now produced two more goats and she will be able to sell them to help provide for her kids. We have a short video just of her thanks, and just so you know, one of our team leaders is translating for her.
I want to say thank you for you who have given me the goats. I want to thank you for standing with me. And as you see, I'm a widow and I'm alone here with some kids here. So this is going to help me a lot in future. Yeah, I want to request you to pray for me. I pray that God give me strength to help these children and to also take care of these goats very well. Yeah, you continue to pray for me. I'm so much happy.
Yeah, we praise God along with these widows and many others like them for those who are partnering with them through the donations that they give to Serving Christ. As I said, Abbeydale is a part of that.
So I think we're running out of time, but just one of the other things.
Not really, we have quite a bit of time yet.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead, dear.
Sorry. Yeah, I just want to mention that one of my favorite events during our stays in Uganda is the marriage retreats we do with our team and their wives. This is a chance for them to get away together as a couple, which is something very rare in their culture. But we worship, we teach, we share, we pray together. It's always beautiful to hear their testimonies and how they've been able to share what they've learned with others. Neighbors are noticing the difference in their marriages and are asking questions and wanting to follow their example. Pastor Linus in this photo shares a lot of marriage teaching through a local radio program, and people call in with a lot of marriage problems. It's only because God has strengthened his marriage through this ministry that he can now help others. And Mama Peace has learned so much and has become like a village marriage counselor, and women from the church and the local community come to her to help, asking for help for their own marriages. And once again, the marriage teachings are not something to keep to themselves, but needs to be passed along. And so we are presently working on pulling all the marriage and family teaching we've done together into a small manual that they will be able to use as they teach others.
Yeah, so they get taught, and then they go out and they teach others. And then those that are taught go out and they teach others. And that is multiplication. We recently, while reading scriptures together, this verse in 2 Corinthians 4:1 stood out to us. Therefore, since through God's mercy, We have this ministry, and we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart because ministry, it doesn't just happen. It takes labor. It takes perseverance. It takes deep commitment to people and to the people you are serving. We've served in East Africa community for 20 years now, and the work is not yet complete. That means we need workers to take our place, who will take responsibility. They will take up the call of God. We are training nationals. They are doing a great job, but we still need other workers as well. God might be calling someone here to take a role of advancing the kingdom of God in South Sudan, in the Sudan, in the Congo, in northern Kenya. Is God touching someone's heart today? If he is, do not harden your heart and reject that calling. If God is calling you, there are other ways. Or if God's not calling you, there are other ways that you can participate. You can partner in what God is doing. You can pray. You can pray because prayer does things. Prayer raised our own daughter from the dead. If you want to hear more about that story, you can ask Sharon after the service. Prayer transforms lives because God answers. You can give to orphans, to widows, to the church planting training. We do not pay wages, but we do sponsor the trainings across these countries. And that all takes funding. So feel free, in the back on the table there we have some prayer cards you can pick up. It has our contact information on the back, and you can pray. Some people even put them on their fridge, because I think praying and eating food is sort of very closely related. Yeah, so if you'd like to get our newsletters, you can contact us and let us know, and we'll guide you on how to receive those. As partners in the body of Christ, we do not lose heart. We want to thank you all for allowing us to share this morning, to share our story, to share the story of others, what God is doing, even in war zones. And thank you for your partnership in the Serving Christ ministry. We pray that God will bless each and every one of you richly. And thank you again.